This is the podcast that gives you news and views from a non-straight perspective. This is Not Straight Cast.
Welcome to Not Straight Cast. I'm Joe.
And I'm Josh.
Hey, Josh. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How you doing, Jojo?
I'm doing okay. I've been working through a few tech issues here lately. So,
Well, you are the tech master. So,
so we had a major one with this podcast, actually, and it had to do with the RSS feed. That's basically the thing that tells all the other like things like Apple Podcasts and, you know, any place where you listen to your podcast at. That basically, it's like, that's what it pulls from to tell them that, hey, there's a new episode, or here's all the episodes and everything.
This is so over my head to all the listeners.
but that's basically what it does, okay?
Okay.
It's basically like, here's all the episodes. Well, what happened was, is that basically it stopped being valid, like the RSS feed stopped being valid on August 18th, which was episode 49.
That was our 50th.
That was our 49th episode.
Our 49th. Okay. All right.
Yeah. And basically what happened was, is that when I published episode 50, it didn't show up anywhere.
Oh, God. And that was our 50.
Yeah. No, nobody had any idea. But there was also a newscast in between that and the 50th episode and everything. So, yeah, it was kind of like, okay, what the heck is going on here? So, basically, I had to go ahead there and push everything through manually. So, it showed up on Facebook and it showed up on our website and everything there. But, like, stuff like Apple Podcasts and stuff, it wasn't showing up there at all. We were stuck on episode 49 forever. And I couldn't figure out why.
Did you get it fixed?
Well, here's the thing is that I was trying to then validate the feed there. And so I was going through and just plugging in the RSS feed website address into like these validators, which will tell you whether you have a valid feed. And all of a sudden the feed wasn't valid anymore. And I'm like, okay, what's going on here? So long story short, I ended up having to migrate the feed to a new provider. So now we're using rss.com.
Okay. So, well, shout out to them. Is it working?
It's working. Yeah.
Okay. And, well, then we like you. So.
I have no idea what happened. I probably blame Trump, to be honest with you.
You always be blaming you and your politics.
Right.
That's why I do the pop culture.
But also, too, another thing that's going to happen here, too, is that we're going to move the release of new episodes to Mondays instead of Sundays. Because, I mean, it's just with our schedule and everything there, it's just kind of like, it just seems like it makes more sense.
Been crazy. And your schedule, it's hard for us to always. At least we're in the same time zone. Hey, right. Lots of applause. Huge applause. And Eastern we're actually doing this, y'all, on a Saturday night, believe it or not. So
I'm sorry, what?
To the viewers, we're actually doing this on a Saturday night.
I know.
Which is wild. Like, we've never done one, I don't think, on a Saturday night. Yeah. We're actually both at home, Atlanta and Pittsburgh in the house.
Well, that's like my fun, trying to fix RSS feeds. And then after this podcast, I'm going to be literally cleaning out a closet. Yeah. That's my excitement for a Saturday night.
I've been unpacking and being domestic.
Which speaks to...
and dealing with Whiny Kitty.
You were on vacation.
Yes. Yes.
Where'd you go?
I was on vacation. I got to go to the Outer Banks. Yay. So shout out to North Carolina. That's where
I've never been there, believe it or not. I've never been to the Outer Banks.
Joe.
I've been to North Carolina. I've been to Florida. I've been to the beach. I've been to the Atlantic Ocean. I've been to the Pacific Ocean. I've not been to Outer Banks, though. So
I hadn't been in, about a decade. Because every time I usually just go outside of Raleigh, because my bestie, well, my other gay bestie, other than you, boo-boo, he lives in Raleigh. And so shout out to Flex. Can I give a shout out to Flex real quick? There is Flex.
What is Flex?
Anybody that lives in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Okay.
So shout out to North Carolina.
Is that a club there or?
Yes, okay. It is a gay club and it's been around for a very, very long time. And so they decided to, I don't know if they had to move it, but they did. And I think they might have had to like, it, so it's a new building, but the same like staff and, you know, club. It's very nice. So if you are in Raleigh, North Carolina, make sure to go and see everybody at Flex. They did a really good job on it. So, but it was wonderful. I haven't been to the new one I'd always frequented the older one, so it was really nice to see it. It's much bigger, huge patio, very, very nice. Like,
that's good. Basically fixing all the ills of the old one, basically.
Yeah, the other one was smaller, and but it was confined, and it was like more underground. And I don't know if they just like sold the building or if they had to sell or move or something like that. But it had been a long time. It kept getting delayed and delayed because of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So it was
been trying to do this for a while, right?
The first time I got to go out and have a drink of Flux, you know, with one of my besties. And it was really nice to see, you know, and be in North Carolina because I had been in the Outer Banks. And I actually even had the opportunity while I was there to see my former assistant from back in the day. I hadn't seen her in forever. We were able to meet up for a hot minute, real, real quick. But I wouldn't be where I am today without her. So shout out to all the paraprofessionals and teacher assistants out there.
Yeah. The rest of the time you're spending on the beach, right?
Well, I was working, but I was doing it remotely, you know? So like we were both working remotely. So, you know, it was funny. Yeah. She's on a Zoom. I'm on a Zoom. You're on a Zoom. We're on, you know, but we had a really nice house. It was very relaxing. But the Outer Banks, if you're a partier, you know, just so you know, like to our listeners, I'm sure they've been, but everything closes. You know, at like they literally rolled
the sidewalks at 9 p.m., huh?
Like, I mean, literally, like, it's not, that's why it was so nice and relaxing, because it wasn't one of those, it's not one of those cities where you feel like, I mean, it's a town, it's not a city, but it's not like you feel like.
Plus, it was after Labor Day, too, right? So,
I mean. Yes, you know. So it's the off season.
Yeah.
Perfect timing, because it'll get cold soon, so.
Mm-hmm.
And the beach wasn't crowded. I was actually able to sit back. Look, I got sun. You can see me on video.
Yeah.
This is the most tan I've had all year.
Josh without a shirt on.
I know, y'all. I'm actually shirtless.
But hey, this is an audio podcast, so they can only imagine you without your shirt on.
Maybe one day we'll do a video. And I'll...
Who knows? Yeah.
Then we can start an OnlyFans.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, good Lord. Could you imagine?
We should start an OnlyFans, not straight cast. The explicit version. This can be PG.
Not straight porn? Like, I don't know.
Not straight porn. There we go. I don't know. Is that, check the domain. Is it taken?
It's probably not taken. It's probably not taken.
But what would you do this week?
I'm sorry?
But what'd you do this week, JoJo? Because I was gone. I was busy. I was still working, of course, you know, just remotely. But it was nice just to be out of the city for once, you know, like, and at the beach.
Not a whole heck of a lot, actually, here. I just cleaned around the house here. During the week, I had my friend over for dinner. He brought me in a flower arrangement, which you can see here looking at my webcam there. It's a really nice flower arrangement.
I saw
there.
It on your feed. And I know your friend, so I'm not going to mention any names. I don't know if I'm allowed to.
Yeah, you can. But he's eventually going to be a guest on here. Yeah.
Hey, Kenzie. How are you doing? I miss you. But I always liked Kenzie. There's a few people in Pittsburgh. I can't wait to get back and see everybody. Like, it's been a long time. And well, I am kind of happy.
We actually get you back to Pittsburgh. So, you know, eventually will happen. So
my schedule's been very busy, y'all. So
I figure sometime in the year 2030, we'll get you back.
Uh-huh. No, I'm going to get
And I'll be dead.
No.
And you'll be 50
you better
years
not
old.
Die on me. Who's gonna help me with all my tech shit, y'all? Like, seriously, I call JoJo and I'm like, how do I fix this? How do I do that? And guess what, y'all? He is so sweet. He knows how to hang shit up. He comes down here, and as every time he knows I do this before he comes down here, I order a bunch of shit that he's put together because I know Joe's coming. He's manly, y'all. Like, he's a butch bitch. Like, you can look at this fucker and be like, he is totally, you would totally think he's straight, you know, like if you didn't know better. Like, and with me, honey, I'm a flaming queen. So, you know.
It sounds like the theme for a TV show. It's like a straight
and
guy.
I tried
and
to help
queen.
Him. For our listeners, I did try to help him and he goes, it would be easier if I just did it myself. I'm like, okay. Thanks.
No. It was one of those things there where like we're putting together a TV stand. And honestly, it'd be kind of like one of those things there. If anybody, straight or gay, helped me out, it'd probably end up being worse than if I just did it myself, kind of thing.
But us gays got to stick together, you know? Like, there's things I can do, obviously. that you can't do, you know? So like, we're always helping each other out, you know, in different like aspects. Like,
right. Yeah. That brings us to the presidential debate.
Oh God. I watched it while I was gone. I did.
Yeah.
My girlfriends and I were sitting there.
And Trump. Oh my God. And Trump decided not to prepare for this debate. And apparently Kamala
I knew he didn't. I knew he wouldn't. And I told my girlfriend that Monday night. I said, I know that Harris is sitting there right now, like up all night, probably like preparing. She's with her team, with her people, like revising shit. Like that's how I am. Cause you know, I present a lot. I said, I know Trump's probably like hitting a golf course or I don't know, doing something stupid and thing. Oh, I got this, you know? And then the next thing I know, we're drinking
wine. We're allegedly getting a blowjob from Laura Loomer.
Oh, okay. But anyway, we were sitting there and then all of a sudden, at one point, we all look at each other, right? And we're like, how are we talking about eating dogs and cats?
She was the one who like basically perpetrated that rumor. So apparently Trump has been spending a lot of time with her lately. So, yeah, well, but you know, with the cesspool that, you know, X is nowadays.
Miss Melania is never anywhere to be found. So, you know.
Right. Apparently she has a new book coming out from what I understand. So.
I did see an awesome billboard. I have to admit. And it said, I was either in South Carolina or North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I saw it twice and it said J.D. Vance for president, you know, and it said weird. And it just had this like picture of him. So I saw it like actually more than that. I saw it like two or three times. And because the one thing with the debate, I even told my girlfriends, I said, you know, they never speak to the vice presidents because you have to realize if something happens, look, somebody just tried to shoot Trump's ass. So
yeah.
That's what that billboard was tactically saying. Like, hey, you know, like it was kind of smart who did it because it's like, hey, if Trump is gone and does get elected, this is your president, JD. You know, like, I don't know.
Well, let's be honest there. I don't think that he could have made a worse pick because I think he's put his foot in his mouth more than any other vice presidential candidate, you know, and the fact that him and Tim Walz is going to go up for, you know, a debate here in early October.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting. Yeah. And basically, it's kind of like, you know, we already watched a 78-year-old child be executed live on television, aborted, basically. So instead of carried the term like he should have been, you know.
And he whined and cried. I told everybody, I said, that should have just been the end of it after January 6th. Stupid mess. I was like, he's a convicted felon. And I'm like, oh my God. It was such a shit show of a debate. Like,
oh, yeah.
Because he just, like, he didn't. There was no plan at all. Like
he basically and his entire book of attacks that he uses there, you know, calling people names and stuff.
Well, the thing is that like, you know, I think he's always cocky. We know that.
Yeah.
But it wasn't this time around, you know, he's used to debating Joe. Well,
yeah,
you know, she's on top of her game. And
I mean, she used to be a prosecutor.
Yeah.
So
Here she is with a fucking felon, you know, like
right? Yeah.
Part of my fridge. And, you know, obviously being in Atlanta and right here in Fulton County, you know, they don't really like Trump here, you know, like Joe can tell you he's been here. Like, this is not Trump land where I live. And
we need to find 11,000 votes. No, you don't.
And I was really shocked because, you know, I was like, I mailed by vote when I lived. Or I voted by mail. Sorry.
Mail by vote.
Whatever. I can't even talk today. It's been a long day, y'all. I finally got back
to it. You voted by mail, and mail spelled M-A-L-E, right?
Yeah, exactly. I need some ass, y'all. Where is the mailman today? And then my girlfriend who watched the cat, God bless her. Thank you, Laura. If you're listening to this, I love you. She really liked the fact that I had a Trump cat toy and Ebony was clawing at it and playing with it because I do have a Trump cat toy. No joke. And it's her favorite toy and she loves to claw it and like fuck with his hair. I think I sent you pictures of it. You were with me I bought it.
I was with you when you bought it, actually. I was down in Atlanta.
It takes her a minute to get to around the stuff. So like she's been like tearing up Trump, y'all.
Posted something on Facebook, and I'll play you the audio of it here. And basically what it is, it's a cat staring at a television of Trump and Kamala Harris debating.
I did see
a lot of towns don't want to talk about it because they're so embarrassed by it.
And that's the cat.
They're eating the dogs. People that came in, they're eating the cats. They're eating.
And the cat jumped up against the TV.
I saw that.
And the cat was like,
I love social media. It's like marked safe from. Or there was one that said something about cat, you know, because my girlfriend and I, we were together and we're like looking at the feed, you know, like both of us were checking our phones after the debate and we're like, what a shit show.
And then all of a sudden after the debate there, Taylor Swift endorsed Kamala.
Then Taylor Swift turned around and endorsed.
And then those guys were just kind of like, nah, that's not going to have much of an impact there. And apparently she drove like 500,000 people to go visit the, register the vote site. So there you go. Right there. I think she could have impact on this election, you know? And I
did bring a lot of business. And I don't really even listen to her. I did see her in concert when she first started off, and she was a teenager. Like,
okay.
And I was like, who is this woman? You know, like, she had her first single out, I think. Like, okay. And she had that curly hair. It was a long time ago. This would have been 2007, y'all. Like,
this is before she was popular
at the time. I had no idea at the time. She only had dropped her first album. Like, yeah. And she was very young, and she put on a good performance, but I just never got into her because she kind of seemed more like country at first, you know, like.
Yeah, she was a little bit country there and basically kind of crossed over, but
then kind of crossed over, it seems like, into pop. She's kind of like a Shania, you know, like. Uh-huh. She can do the country and the pop, you know, like.
Yeah. I personally am not a fan of Taylor Swift.
She has a ton
of followers. Yeah.
She has a ton of followers. And like, she did 3 shows here.
Anyways, we're going to go ahead here and we're going to take a commercial break. And we'll be right back with the news on Not Streetcast after this. Hey there, listener. Did you know about Audible? Audible lets you enjoy all your audio entertainment in one app. You'll always find the best of what you love or something new to discover. Audible offers an incredible selection of audiobooks across every genre, from bestsellers and new releases to celebrity memoirs, mysteries and thrillers, motivation, wellness, business, and more. You'll discover exclusive Audible originals from top celebrities, renowned experts, and exciting new voices in audio. Audible also includes thousands of podcasts, from popular favorites to exclusive new series. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month and keep from their entire catalog, including the latest bestsellers and new releases. Members also get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and podcasts. You can download or stream their included titles all you want. The Audible app makes it easy to listen anywhere, anytime, while traveling, working out, walking, doing chores, you decide. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Go to audibletrial.com/NSC. That's audibletrial.com/NSC.
If ensuring speed and security for your sites is really a top priority for you, then search no further than VoxOnyx's shared website hosting plans. They use SSD-powered servers and provide numerous site acceleration tools that make your website's load noticeably faster. Additionally, they deploy ZFS data storage to shield your website contents from corruption. Also, they will manage the task of migrating all the websites you need to their system, absolutely free of cost. Get started now by going to VoxOnyx.com. That's VoxOnyx.com.
Attention gamers, ready to level up your game collection? Discover Gamefly. With Gamefly, rent the hottest new releases and classic favorites for your console or PC. No due dates, no late fees. Play as long as you want and swap when you're ready. Plus, enjoy free shipping both ways. It's the easiest way to game your way. Sign up today at nsc.lgbt/game and get your first month free. Gamefly, your ultimate game library delivered.
Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, where conversations spark connections, diversity takes center stage. Tune in for insightful dialogues on love, life, the news, and everything in between. Not Straight Radio is your destination for thought-provoking content that resonates with every shade of the rainbow. Not Straight Radio, 24/7 LGBTQ talk radio, because everybody's story deserves to be heard. Visit nsc.lgbt/radio to listen now.
And now it's time for the news. And now with the first story on the show, here's Josh.
Yes. And you guys, I'm going to be serious for once. And Joe gave me a serious story. But it really does tie home to me. So let's go ahead and get started. Six major publishers have sued Florida over House Bill 1069, a 2023 law that allows anyone to get any book removed from a school library simply by challenging it over sexual conduct. The law has resulted in the removal of hundreds of literary works, including a children's book about gay penguins, often for indefinite amounts of time during the review process. The publishers, HarperCollins, Penguin Random House, Hachette Book Group, Macmillan Publishers, Simon & Schuster, and Source Books, recently filed a lawsuit against Florida officials on behalf of the Authors Guild. Best-selling authors Julia Alvarez, Laurie House Anderson, John Green, Jody Picoult, and Angie Thomas, two students and two parents. Fighting unconstitutional legislation in Florida and across the country is an urgent priority, the publishers wrote in a joint press statement. We are unwavering in our support for educators, librarians, students, authors, readers, and everyone that deserves access to books and stories that show different perspectives and viewpoints. The books removed by the law included Brave New World by Aldous Huxley, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain, The Diary of a Young Girl by Anne Frank, The Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood, The Bluest Eye by Toni Morrison, Forever by Judy Blume, at least three gay inclusive children's picture books, and Tango Makes Three, Stella Brings the Family, and Daddy's Roommate, as well as dozens of books with LGBTQ themes, protagonists of color, or discussions of racism. These bans have a chilling effect on what authors write about, and they damage authors' reputations by creating the false notion that there is something unseemly about their books, wrote Mary Rasenberger, CEO of the Authors Guild. Yet, these same books have edified young people for decades, expanding worlds and fostering self-esteem and empathy for others. We all lose out when authors' truths are censored. In response to the law, one San Francisco bookseller has begun sending banned books to community centers, schools, and individuals in Florida and other red states with similar book bans. Yes.
That's what they should be doing, right?
Yes. Also, the Oddity Museum, Ripley's Believe It or Not, has begun offering free banned books to Floridians, and the musician Pink began giving away thousands of banned books at her Florida tour stops.
This makes utter complete sense that, number one, these publishers are fighting back, you know?
Yes. Because it's just kind of like, it's time.
Because honestly, book bans weren't a thing until Trump became president.
And no.
Yeah.
Book bans have been around for a long time.
Well, they weren't.
This to the all started extent. Back up yeah. when Trump got into office. And because book banning has gone on for a very, very long time, but
not to the extent now,
not that like it yeah. has. We have it's starting all over again. Like, and it's very hard because I work in publishing, and you know I do, and you know I work
mm-hmm.
nationally,
yeah,
and so every state is different, you know, in regards to. You know, I get people that tell me, you know, we can't buy books like for our scholars, or we can't buy books for our teachers and stuff like that, you know, because I work in education, and it's just, it's ridiculous, you know, and it's really hard on publishing companies because, you know, they're used to just saying, oh, I want to buy this. I want to buy that. Administrators, superintendents, you know, curriculum directors, people like that, like they have a lot on their plates. You know, the last thing they need to do is have to worry about stuff like this.
And it turns out to the point where they end up having to give, you know, their students the instruction manual to a printer and be like, here, read this.
Well, no, the bad thing is I spoke with a librarian not too long ago.
Okay.
And she works at a school, a former colleague, and she has to, due to this new legislative law, vet every book. So every book has to be entered into a database, the name, the author, you know, like it has to yeah. be all digitized. And I mean, it's getting worse and worse. And I mean, I'm glad the publishers are doing this because these are notable books that I read in school.
Yeah, me too.
Mm-hmm. They're giving parents too much. It really happened after COVID too, because it's when parents finally woke up. And I was like, what are my kids doing in school? But
well, it's kind of like these kids can't be exposed to different viewpoints other than their own bigoted viewpoints.
That's the problem. That's the problem, you know, yeah. Because it was the conservative folk that were like, oh,
yeah,
you know, I don't
it's
like
never
this.
The liberal folks. It's always the conservative folks who
if COVID wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
And the Trump crap and like letting these people, you know, because he even voted to like, you know, I mean, he didn't vote, but he even said, you know, like. He wants the states to always be in control. I don't like that, to be honest. I like the states having their control, you know, but there's certain things I agree on, like, you know, like. How much control should you really give them, you know, like,
yeah.
And I love Daddy's Roommate. It is the cutest book. I own it. So this really hit home for me.
I mean, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain was one of the banned books. I'm like, come on, yeah. You know? It's like that's
and
like
I don't even know what's even wrong with that book. Like to me, I can't even think offhand. Like, I mean, Daddy's Roommate is different because I know,
yeah,
you know, like
it's an LGBT book.
Right? It's an LGBTQ, but yeah. I don't know, even remember what would be wrong with Tom Sawyer. Like,
right, exactly. Yeah, it's just kind of like this has gone a step too far as I'm concerned. Here, it's just kind of like. You know, it's like people are going to find anything to be upset about there. And it's just kind of like, you know, we need to get back to how things were, you know?
Well, we can't, you know, school
or at least
is an
the
outlet
books are
for
be
children.
Banned. It needs to be banned on the basis of nonpartisan reasoning, you know, that makes sense to both parties.
Right.
Not that
exactly.
Conservatives and don't like it, you know?
Because, you know, in Florida even, you know, the whole don't say gay and all that. Florida
yeah,
started
exactly.
it. It really yeah. started with Florida. I'm not going to lie. I mean, there's always been book bans. There's rural areas, but Florida took it to a whole new extreme. Okay. And I live in the South now. So you got to think when I went from the Northeast, you know, and then came South again, it's like, wow, because, you know, Florida started it and then it went to Tennessee, you know, and then now Georgia's even talking about doing it and it's proposed and it could pass. And
it makes no sense whatsoever.
I don't like it because. Yeah. I think kids should be allowed to read what they want to read and have different perspectives.
Right. Exactly. So anyways, we could sit here and talk about this all day, but we need
sorry,
to move on.
I'm very passionate about this.
No, you are. You are. I mean,
and
yeah, yeah, it's just utterly frustrating to see this here, but I'm glad the publishers are now being like, you know, hey, something needs to stop here.
I just
you know?
Want our kids educated, you yeah. know, because it, right. it's only happening in the red states, and the red states are basically trying to say, you can't read this. You can't have this in your library. But, you know, when you're younger, especially those of us that grew up, or we're a little older, you know,
yeah,
that was an outlet. That was an escape. You know, that mm-hmm. was a way for us to experience life. If you lived in a small town, like, oh, I want to go here. Or I want to go there and get different viewpoints, different lifestyles. Like,
right.
What's the problem with that? You know, like.
It's just utterly frustrating to watch her along with everything else that's been going on there lately and trying to figure yeah. out why somebody who's orange hued has still as much power as they do. Anyways, moving on to the next story here. After being the only applicant for a vacant seat on his village council, an Ohio man was still denied a position, and the council president's reasonings was pretty blatant. David Nation, who's 41, moved to Waynesville over 16 years ago. He was now husband and immediately fell in love with the quaint aesthetics of the town, which is home to just approximately 2,600 people. After more of a decade and a half in community service, Nation then decided to apply to a seat on the Waynesville Village Council when announced a vacancy on June 17th. Nation applied weeks before the July 10th deadline. The council set for applications remained the only applicant as the deadline passed. Still, he's not sworn in at the July 15th council meeting where the incoming president, Chris Colvin, announced they would instead be interviewing four candidates, Nation and three others who had not applied but were sought out that after the deadline passed. Nation said that the interview went well and that Mayor Earl Isaacs even told him that he was the most qualified for the position. Despite that, the council adjourned without filling the seat. Weeks went by without word until Nation saw on July 29th the council was holding a special meeting on July 31st to appoint someone. Nation spent the 2 days gathering signatures of support from the other residents, gathering 100 signatures and submitting them to the council. He did not attend the meeting, where members instead appointed Lau Anthony, one of the three other candidates, who had lived in the town 10 years fewer than Nation. Colvin was then asked to submit to the record on why he did not support Nation, saying that he was very concerned about DEI policies and his efforts being a founding member of the LGBTQ Rainbow Alliance, ERG, where advocates for diversity, equity, and inclusion in local government, business, and education institutions. Nation soon after heard of the appointment in Colvin's comments from friends and several residents who told him they would speak in support of him at the next meeting on August 5th. Community members unanimously slammed the council's shady deal and focused on Nation's sexual orientation at the meeting, though Colvin was not present as he was instead on vacation. While he pursues other possible recourse to ensure something like this doesn't happen again, Nation said he intends to make a statement by running for the council in the 2025 election. He said, "My whole life I've fought for gay rights, and I can't believe this is still where we are." Adding that, "I have the biggest campaign they will ever see in this tiny town. Just you wait and see. I hope he runs for mayor.
And I hope he does, though.
This makes absolutely no sense. This is 2024, you know? I mean, it's a seat on a council, you know? It's not that big of a deal. The town only has 2,500 people. It's kind of like, let him on the fucking council already, you know?
I know, right? It's not like, but I'm glad he's not leaving, you know? Like, he's being a proponent. He's
fighting for the cause.
They totally screwed him. And I'm like, stay. I'm like, and get that freaking position, you know? Like, I'd harass the hell out of them.
Like, and the fact that the mayor can be like, "Well, we're not going to appoint him because he has DEI experience." What the fuck is that reasoning behind that, you know?
You can look me up, and I'm certified in DEIB, and I've taken a million courses, and it's one of the huge focuses, you know, within my career, you know?
The thing that kind of worries me now is, like, DEI is kind of like, you know, kind of like a flag for, you know, all, like, one for, you know, basically these conservatives to be homophobic and then get all these companies, you know, they're basically harassing these companies into basically getting rid of their DEI initiatives.
And I saw several this week.
Yeah, Harley Davidson, you know, there's been other ones, Tractor Supply,
Ford.
You know, all kinds of, Ford.
Ford. Uh-huh. I was like, wow, like a car dealership and Harley Davidson being as big as they are. Those were like the top two that I was like, what the hell? Like, because the human rights campaign, you know?
Right.
I mean, I hope that they're standing. I know that they are, but I hope he reaches out to them and they do something for him. You know, like, it would be great for them to come right into town or do something and like support him or give him some like media exposure and things like that. Because, and I don't blame him that he left on August 5th because he was already, you know.
I'm kind of glad that he's kind of like, we're going to the biggest campaign we've ever seen in this tiny town. Just you wait and see, you know, because
I hope he does.
He's probably going to be
puts a freaking rainbow on like everything too.
And he's going to be on the bigger and better things. So anyways, we're going to go ahead here and we're going to take another break. And we'll be right back with more news on the Streetcast after this.
Craving a sound check that celebrates you? Tune in to LGBTQ Radio, playing your favorite not straight music. From pop anthems to indie beats, LGBTQ Radio plays the hits that cater to our community. Stream your favorite artists and discover new tracks that will keep you dancing all day and night. No talk, all tunes, LGBTQ Radio, where every beat is a celebration of you. Listen now at LGBTQRadio.com.
Couplet is passionate about specialty coffee. Queer woman owned and built for everyone, Couplet was created to make great coffee more fun and approachable. They skip the pretentious tasting notes and gatekeeping and get right to the good part. Ridiculously delicious coffee you can prepare however the f*** you like. Shop online at nsc.lgbt/coffee. That's nsc.lgbt/COFFEE.
Looking for your next great find? At Second & Charles, discover a road of treasures. Books, vinyl records, video games, and more. Whether you're into the latest bestsellers or nostalgic classics, Second & Charles has got you covered. Visit nsc.lgbt/Charles to check out their online selection. That's nsc.lgbt/CHARLES.
Celebrate Pride every day with Pride Check, where you can wear your pride loud and proud. Discover a vibrant collection of LGBTQ plus apparel, accessories, and home decor that let you show your true colors. From rainbow flags to inclusive tees, We've got everything you need to express yourself. Plus, a portion of every purchase supports LGBTQ plus charities. Shop with pride and make a difference. Visit nsc.lgbt/pride and find your new favorite way to shine.
Welcome back to Not Straight Cast. And our next story that we have here in this, a little bit of pop culture. Here's Josh.
Yes, my favorite topic, pop culture. And we're going to talk about Lil Nas X, who is from Georgia. So he's also a Georgia peach. Give me a ding, please.
There you go.
All right. Lil Nas X is in his flop era. Well, at least according to him, he is. Following the debut of his latest single, J. Christ, at number 69 on the Billboard Hot 100 earlier this year, the rapper seemingly scrapped his album rollout, and he is reconfiguring what type of artist he wants to be. And over the long Labor Day holiday weekend, he joked about the drama on TikTok. God, after giving me Industry Baby as the last song on my 3-year hit song streak, reads the text on the clip where X informs himself that he only has 30 minutes of fame left. Another video plays the nostalgic music from Mean Girls while the rapper walks down the street. Me, after firing my entire team and moving to New York so I could just cosplay as a struggling underground artist who's about to have their big break and has no idea. At first, Lil Nas X was keeping it light and funny, but he later shared a more earnest video on Monday, September 2nd, of himself talking to the camera with motivational music behind him and clips of previous music videos and memes. Starting over is embarrassing, he begins. You just got to do it anyway. You got to start over regardless, because why not? You need to just feel all those things you want to avoid feeling. People are going to tell you how good things used to be and how great you are. The past was so much better than right now. You just got to be where you are. You got to start from where you are. You have to stand next to yourself, stand beside yourself, and stand beside your ideas. Stop trying to cling on to what was so you can become the next version of you, he concluded. I haven't had my next big thing yet, but I know it is coming. Between 2019 and 2021, the rapper landed 3 number one hit songs, Old Town Road, which became the longest running number one single of all time, Call Me By Your Name, and Industry Baby. He released J. Christ earlier this year, seemingly as a first single off an album, and with the intention to rely on conservative outrage to boost attention, much as it did earlier in his career. But the strategy didn't pay off. The rapper was then widely criticized online, with many deeming him a flop, and it seems like Lil Nas X took the sentiment to heart. His follow-up singles were humble in comparison, and he took to releasing tracks on SoundCloud. But artistry isn't defined by chart success. Many artists are lucky to have one hit, let alone 3. You can only be on top for so long. So hopefully, Lil Nas X can keep moving forward and become the best artist he can be, rather than focus on the fickle desires of fans, labels, or the potential of a hit song.
I mean, yeah, he had a good start to his career, you know?
Yes, he did.
And the fact that Baby now is that he releases a song, it's not a hit there. It's kind of like, you can't just, you know, all of a sudden be like, all of a sudden, I suck. No, you don't suck. It's just, you know, not everything's going to be a hit.
I think he's being too yeah. hard on himself. You know, like every album doesn't make it. You know, like there are albums, there's, look at all these other artists, even movies, like actresses, it's entertainment. Like
most artists not are everything happy to have one number one hit, yet 3, you know?
Right. Because just when I was gone not too long ago, you know, we were watching a countdown of, you know, the top songs in like 2000s or something, or the 90s. I can't remember what it was. And some of these people are like gone. I mean, they had one hit. That was it. Mm-hmm. Right. But that legacy lives on forever, because it's like, oh my God, that song came out like 10, 20 years ago, whatever. Like, but it's still there. I mean, and you got to think, he had the longest running number one single of all time.
Yeah.
And I think he's really young, and you know, I feel like very much, you know, like his passion, like it's hard to stay on top, and you know, not everything you're gonna do or every project you do is is going to be a success. I'm sure you've had many failures over the year, Joe. You know, even in your own personal, you know, like throughout your career, you know, like not everything works out, you know, like,
yeah,
sometimes you're on top and everything's going great. And then the next year, it can be a whole different story. I really have always been a huge proponent for him because obviously he's from Georgia.
Yeah.
I always find him cute. I think he's hot.
Good artist, yeah.
Shout out to you, Lil Nas X. And, you know, I'm really proud of him for, like, coming out and, like, you know. But I think he's just being too hard on himself. Like,
you're allowed to have failure, yeah. I mean, you know, it's what makes you grow, I guess, you know. So in this case here, then the fact that, you know, one of his albums is not a number one hit there, it's kind of like, well, yeah. Sometimes you need to be knocked down a peg. You know? But yeah.
He's young. I'm like, dude, you'll
come back.
You'll bounce back for sure. And I'm like, what you did for the gay community is amazing. You know, like you started off with like country, you know, and then totally turned around and like went from Old Town Road, a country song, and was able to get into rapping, be your true self. You know, be gay, be loud, be proud. And there's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, so I assume he'll be fine going forward.
I think he'll be just fine.
So you're talking about the 2000s. Yeah, late 90s, early 2000s were a rough time to be a gay teen. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was still in effect. The U.S. was many years away from the Supreme Court legalizing same-sex marriage. Matthew Shepard was murdered in a horrific anti-gay hate crime that made national headlines in 98. Homophobic jokes were the norm on TV, and LGBTQ students were being harassed at school all across the country. It was during this turbulent period that gay attorney and LGBT activist Jacob Wrighton attended Mankato West High School in a Minnesota suburb where Tim Mullis was teaching social studies and coached the football team. Born out of his activist spirit and his desire to come out of the closet and stop the bullying, Wrighton founded his school's first gay-straight alliance in 1999 with the help of the man who is now delivering stump speeches alongside presidential hopeful Harris. When Mankato West High School principal John Barnett suggested Walls for the role of GSA faculty advisor, Wrighton knew that he'd be the right fit because how accepting both Walls and his wife Gwen, who was also a dedicated high school teacher at the time, had always been. In fact, Gwen Walls was the third person Wrighton ever told he was gay after first coming out to his sister and a close friend. Starting a group for LGBTQ students and their allies in a small city in the Midwest during the late 90s was no easy feat, but choosing the ultimate all-American teacher to lead it turned out to be a brilliant decision. Walls was a veteran who devoted himself to his community, coached football, and was married to a cheerleading coach. He and his wife were on the prom committee and took students to China every summer, and Walls even gave up his free time to help build sets for the high school theater's department. Despite the possibility of blowback from the community and parents, he signed on to the job of faculty advisor for the GSA because he knew it was important. It really needed to be the football coach. He was a soldier and was straight and was married, Walls told the Minnesota Star Tribune back in 2018. With Walls at the helm and the support of the well-respected school principal, the GSA didn't face as much hate as they expected, but there were still detractors. Wrighton recalls that every time the GSA put up posters advertising the group or one of their events, they would get pulled down or ripped up. Not to be deterred, the high school senior always picked up the pieces and eventually turned them into a mural emblazoned with the words, "Symbols of Our Hate." The group also faced backlash when it came time for them to organize a Human Rights Week for the school, which focused on a different form of discrimination each day for a week, including gender identity, race, religion, sexual orientation, and disability. Both the school and Wrightland's parents received angry letters and phone calls from disgruntled parents who threatened to keep their teens home on the day that sexual orientation would be highlighted, but Walls refused to back down and listen to closed-minded parents. A moment like this planted the seed for the LGBTQ rights activism that became a cornerstone of Wrightland's career. These people remained very special to me, including Mr. and Mrs. Walls, and for the support that they showed during a time when it's not easy for people to be gay. In the years since his tenure heading the GSA, Walls has been supporting LGBTQ rights a pillar of his political career, never shying away from it, even when it may help him win elections to do so. When Walls decided to run for Congress, he paid Wrightland's parents a visit, and when they told him that he didn't need to fight for gay marriage on their account, He's so firm in his convictions. He said, I have to look at my gay students in the eye. I'm for gay marriage. And so he ran for Congress the first time in 2006. He ran a position of being for gay marriage. As governor, he went even further and made Minnesota a sanctuary state for transgender people, signed a bill prohibiting bans on books in public schools and libraries, protected access to gender-affirming care, and banned conversion therapy. After talking to a friend who was seeking asylum in the U.S. because of anti-LGBTQ violence in his home country, Riley realized that having an ally in the White House like Walz could create real change. I can think of no better person to send to talk about the issues and have someone care. According to Rutland, Tim Walz and his wife Gwen are the kind of people you would want in a position of power. They're out of a Hallmark movie in terms of how decent they are as a people and exactly what you would want as a vice president. I don't think much needs to be said about this. I mean, yeah, you know.
And I loved how it summed it up. They're out of a Hallmark movie, you know, in terms of how decent
Kamala Harris, you know,
they are as people.
Yeah.
And what you would want as a vice president. Like, the crazy thing is that since he was chosen, you know.
Yeah.
I haven't, just being honest, because, you know, I'm always checking like Twitter, Facebook, you name it, LinkedIn, all these different social platforms, Facebook, whatever. But I never see anybody say anything bad about him. I haven't seen any stories come up about him.
The conservative folks are trying to complain about
no dirty service. Laundry.
Yeah, but there was a service, the National Guard there, that basically he didn't actually hold a weapon and he tried to get out of going to Iraq, but he retired months before his unit was ever called, you know? So he would never known about that.
Do believe that somebody else never had to serve and, you know, dodged.
Somebody had bone spurs, yeah, and got out of serving for Vietnam.
But yeah. If that's the worst they can come up with, you know, I have a freaking meme that I shared on my social platform of JD wearing a wig dressed up in drag for a Halloween party.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And I told you earlier in this podcast, I saw like two or three different billboards saying JD Vance is president. And it just says weird. That's all it says. Yeah. And it has the picture of him. And, it's,
yeah, and
it's
he was the creator of that whole entire weird thing. And honestly, that's kind of stuck, you know?
I wanted to see, but you know, they put that stuff so tiny at the bottom and, you know, but the message got across like with the billboards, like, cause that's what I, you know, kept saying, like, people got to think if something happens to the president, you got to have the backup, you know? So,
right. Yeah. And I honestly don't think he's a good choice. And there's a reason why J.D. Vance is the candidate for vice president, because Mike Pence got almost hung. You know,
I know.
So
not many, and a lot of people are turning on him right now, which is not good. I spoke with my mother the other day. We have an interesting relationship, but she even said, she goes, well, with Trump, you know, he was already 3 feet under, you know, she said when he started to begin with, because he's like the felon and January 6th and all his bullshit and craziness and stuff. And then she goes, and then he picks J.D. Vance. And she said, he's just digging his own grave, isn't he? And she said, now he is 6 feet under. And with Harris, she was like, pray for the best. Like, you know, like, because she said, honestly, she said, I don't know if America's ready for some convicted felon and the author of Hillbilly Elegy.
I have a feeling here this is going to be, this is going to be
and
a blowout.
You have positive stories like this, Joe. So thank you for sharing that. Like, I didn't even know this one, you know? So, like, I appreciate you sharing that one, because I don't always stay up on the politics. And
you're welcome. And guess what? Time it is.
The moment of conclusion.
Yes, it is. And guess what? We have another positive story.
Good.
So opening a gay bar in downtown Waterloo, Iowa was not on Darren Beck's bingo card a few years ago. Beck, the owner of a restaurant group at eateries and nightclubs in Cedar Falls and Iowa City, was already retired, but 3 years ago, as the COVID pandemic raged and the hospitality business ground to a halt in Waterloo, Beck came out as gay. He married his husband 2 years later. He even got some help from Gloria Estefan. This one, for me, is very different and kind of comes from more of the heart than the head, so to speak, Beck told the Waterloo Cedar Falls Courier. It's just something I feel fortunate that I got to do. It's refreshing and liberating, Beck said, of owning a gay club. I was never, you know, ashamed over anything. I lived a straight life, and the straight road guys like me didn't come to places like this. The place like this is the rail station, a spit polished version of a longtime gay mainstay that replaced the Kings and Queens Club. The rail station opened just in time for the Waterloo Pride Fest. Bex co-owner John Hayes bought Kings and Queens in 2010 and ran the rundown bar until early 2020 when he sold it. He bought it back again in late 2022, but had to close it down permanently because it was in such disrepair. Drag queen Jessie Jade Michaels, who was a regular and performer at the old clubs of a gay outpost in Waterloo, was missed. Straight people can go into any bar and not have to worry about the onlookers, but it's different for patrons like her. For a lot of people in the LGBTQ community, you can't walk into other bars holding another guy's hand or another girl's hand without the whole bar looking. This is the spot where they can. She also said that the old club's closure affected revenue during Pride Fest and that other bars in the town's main drag on 4th Street suffered because many patrons bar hop after drag shows wrapped. The rail station marks a new era in Waterloo's gay nightlife. While he's not preparing rail station for the club's grand opening, co-owner Hayes runs the bar at the Broken Record across the street, saying that not a day goes by without people asking when the rail station will open. "I can't pump gas without somebody asking," he said. "The hype is definitely there. I'm excited that everyone's is excited about it." Hayes and Beck says that the name was inspired by multiple rail lines that run through Waterloo and acknowledge how train stations were once vibrant social hubs in their own right, a trend on the upswing with increased attention to rail transportation across the country. Added Hayes, laughing, "Then I've always said, depending on how creative your mind is, you can make up your own interpretation of the name." Yeah, that's good news. I mean, you know.
I really like that. And in Iowa, too.
Yeah.
And this is so funny. Shout out to Gloria. Because I saw her video when I was in the Outer Banks on one of those 80s or 90s channels. And I'm glad she's been always been a proponent of the gay community. But this guy, for him to do this and open up this bar and make this safe, you know?
Yeah.
We need more safe places.
It's not something he had to do. He was retired, you know.
He was retired. Like, yeah. And but it was his passion. He came out finally, Iowa, you know, and for him to do this and to, you know, have this hype and create a safe space for LGBTQ, it's absolutely amazing. Like, I really admire him. Like, I've never been to Iowa, but if I ever go,
there you go. You can go there.
I'll have to stop there for sure, you know. So
absolutely. So
so kudos to him for sure. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. So that's
good guy.
We're gonna go ahead and wrap this up here. Thank you for listening to Not Straight Cast. Email us at feedback@notstraightcast.com or record a voice message at nsc.lgbt/BM. And access our websites, visit notstraightworld.com. And until next time. Have a not straight one.